You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Take one.
Stephen and Dana, and we're in the room.
Oh, Dana, look at our new podcasting platform.
And we're in the room with Stephen and Dana. We're coming live from Riverside.fm on BPN, honey.
Bam.
Someone in this room is sick with a cold. I won't tell you who it is. It's Stephen!
It's me. Oh. So if you care to find me. No, I'm not that sick. I'm just, I have a little, like an allergy. Spring is here. Spring has sprung. Under the face mask situation.
Snort, snort, snort. Are you on the up and up? Are we in the thick of it?
I am on the up and up. My weekend of shows was a lot under the mask and the sniffles. But we got through it. I was tested. Negative. Negative Nancy.
So you're like old school, just straight up sick.
Old school, straight up like, oh, things are in bloom and you've been inside for 2 years and got to skip spring and allergy season entirely.
Okay, I can hear it. Welcome back. Sounds nice. Mm.
Thanks for bringing it to everyone's attention.
You're welcome. Well, they'll hear it and they'll be like, why didn't anyone address it? And you're welcome.
Well, welcome. Your tones are as dulcet as ever.
I'm always nasal. I feel like
she dulcets.
Who cares? I dulcet. She dulcets. Oh my gosh. Okay. Do we have any other updates?
I haven't talked to you since we last recorded a podcast. How are you?
Which was not too long ago. We took like 3 months off. And then we were like, let's start doing this again.
Yeah. We have a fierce guest in our room tonight.
I'm just going to let you do that transition. Yay,
ladies,
Samantha Williams!
In the hot seat.
Hello. I've been here from the beginning, but I wasn't sure when I was able to talk. So I was like, I guess I'll wait. But hello.
That would be now.
That's yeah. Yes. Hi.
You found Thanks. It. You know your cues.
I know my cues.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
thank you
we
for
have
being here.
So thank
much
you
to
for
talk about.
Me.
I feel like we have a similar Venn diagram, if you will. Mm-hmm. There are chunks of our lives that we've shared together, whether you know that or not.
I did not know that, so I cannot wait to find out.
I'm going to take you back to a place called Quisasana, where the pines are.
No way.
Yes, way.
Wait, oh my God, yeah. Did you tell me this in the original email?
Well, yes, but it's been a very long time.
I'm so sorry.
I do not need you to know that. This is so much better.
Okay.
No. This is so much better. Six summers of my life were spent on Lake Kezar in Central Lebanon.
Wow. I know. Wow. Six summers. Honestly, I love it there. I can't lie to you.
It's pretty great.
I only spent one summer there, and then I went to visit, but it was a really fun summer for sure.
Ooh, you got to visit.
I did. I got
they
insights.
Must have liked you.
They did love me. I will say, like, I know that I was loved there.
Yeah.
Like,
You were loved.
I made my mark.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
Exactly. It was definitely that vibe.
Oh, my gosh. So, listeners, like, this is a resort in the mountains in Maine. And a lot of performers around the country, if they go to theater school or whatnot, wind up there. Who knows how? I mean, there's a lot of ASU. There's a lot of Pace. There's a lot of, you know,
Wisconsin.
Stevens Point. Yeah, like random conglomerates across the country. NYU, Manhattan School of Music, just kind of go up and perform in the woods and get into some shenanigans and, you know, meet some people.
Lots of shenanigans.
I love saying it. Quisasana.
Where the pines are. Quisasana. Yes.
There's a song.
Oh, yeah. It's like a whole cult.
It's a cult.
It's a cult situation. Yeah, 100%. Sure. Really fun
Not
time,
really.
So.
Do not write a New York Post article about this.
I've been listening it might be. To Dana talk about Quisasana for years, and I've never heard the song.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's a song. There's a song. Everyone gets very emotional.
Not me.
Not everyone, but the people who go there, like the families yeah. who have been there for like 47 years in a row.
I know. And that's what
All
makes it a cult.
All those old people. Yeah.
Yeah. For sure.
For sure.
Yeah.
Bridget Everett is a former alum.
Yes.
I don't know. It's. I like finding people who've done it because it's so weird. You can't even hardly
so
describe
weird.
It.
No. Yeah. It's definitely niche for sure.
Oh, show. Yeah. Well, welcome to our room.
Thank you for having me.
We would ideally like to be with you in person.
Of course.
We're still kind of doing this, you know, because this is still happening. Yeah.
It is always fun getting a peek into, like, the three rooms, right? Because, like, obviously we would rather be in one room, but if we have to be in three rooms, at least, like...
Oh, yeah. We're doing a little...
We get to, like, still spy a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
But then they get to spy back.
Yeah,
so it feels
yeah.
a little more equal.
For sure, for sure.
Cut to me the most nondescript corner of my house.
I was about to say, like...
I'm giving you nothing.
That's not fair.
He's giving you stark, real
nice. Meanwhile...
I mean, anything good on the night... Oh, you know what I have on the nightstand that's fun? I have my thank you at-home COVID test.
Yes!
Stay safe.
We are taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
And a giant jug of water.
Amazing.
Well, I do have to say that, like, before Broadway shut down, along with the rest of everything else, Carolina Change was one of three tickets that I had. And
Me
it was,
too.
Like, such a bummer. And it was, like, maybe the first show I saw back in the theater.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah, so I was like, you know. Awesome. Very excited to actually see it. Were you nervous that it wouldn't come back? Because you had gotten cast. Did you do any performances?
Yeah, you were in a very unique situation.
Yeah, it was definitely a unique situation. We were about to have our invited dress. So we were going to have our first ever audience the day that everything shut down.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then... They were like, okay, like, it's just going to be 2 weeks, whatever. And we all went out to a bar and, like, got really drunk because we were like, oh, my God, we have 2 weeks to just, like, relax and chill and, like, rest our voices. Like, let's kind of, like, hang out and celebrate a little. Like, everybody was there. and little did we know, we would not see each other for another, like, year and a half or so. And then during that time... I went back to Texas. That's where I'm originally from. And I lived with my mom for a bit. And during the time I was like finishing college, class of 2020.
Wow.
Yeah. And so I got to finish college with my class and everything. And that was cool. But I definitely did have some like doubt on whether or not it would be coming back or when it would be coming back and whatnot.
How could
and
you not? How could you not?
Of course. But luckily, everything worked out exactly how it was supposed to be, and I got to come back and do it, and it was the best experience of my life. So, yeah.
Were you guys doing, like, Zoom readings? Like, at the beginning when everyone, you know, thought it was going to be 2 weeks just to kind of keep everything fresh? I know some shows were doing, you know, Zoom rehearsal or Zoom... touch-ins until that became obviously a lot longer period of time.
Yeah, no, we were not.
Nope.
No, right. No, our like our director Michael Longhurst. Honestly, the whole team, they're all like British. So like the way the Brits do theater, like they're so chill about everything. Like, so there was just no way we were gonna do that.
Sure.
Like, we would do a run of a show and like, or we would do like a run of the show like in the rehearsal room and then like celebrate by getting beer after, like that's the vibe of everything. So there's just no way we were gonna, we would do like Zoom meetings and like talk to each other and be like, what's good, and get some like information on things. But I did see a lot of shows doing Zoom rehearsals and stuff, but no, we didn't get to do that.
That's surprising, I think, well, to me, because it's such a dense piece.
Yeah, I think it's because there's no, like spoken lines, we would have to be, like, singing at each other through Zoom and, like...
Right.
It's like, what are you going to do? Yeah, so, we didn't have any of that. But it would have been cool, I think. It would have been interesting to try to do it over Zoom for sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Dana, you just touched on, like, the complexity of the material, and I wanted to ask you, Samantha... Your name says Sammy, but
your
name's Samantha. I don't know what to call you.
No, you can call me Sammy. Everybody calls me Sammy. Yeah.
Sammy, I wanted to ask you, did that material come naturally to you? Is that the material that like you tend to absorb anyway? Or is that like, is Janine Tesori's score like a hard left from like where your comfort zone is?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I think, I mean, it was so hard to learn, obviously, because everything is so intricate, and it definitely took a lot of work of just, like, drilling the rhythms, drilling the notes, and drilling the intentions, and just, like, figuring out, like, what I'm saying and why I'm doing it. But I feel like it's so well written that, like, once you get it, you get it. So, like, I don't know if that means it comes naturally, but, like, it's just so good that it's, like, you put in the work and, like, it's there. It's in your body. Yeah. I think, going back to, like, the Zoom thing, I think by that point, by, like, the time we were going to do it in front of audiences, we had all put in so much work that, like, it's one of those shows that once you know it, it's there. There's not really anything else to, like, dive into. And also, like, all the words, like, Tony Kushner is so brilliant in writing it that, like, everything you need is there. And I feel like nowadays with, like, all this commercial theater that's coming out, which is also amazing and has its place, I feel like a lot of the times the book and just the story in general doesn't really give the actor everything that they need in order to tell the story well. Like, it's not all in the text. But Tony Kushner and, like, Carolina Change and all that, like, it's all there on the page, like Shakespeare. So it's just, like, you just got to trust that it's there. No, it didn't come easily, but... It wasn't, I don't know how to answer
Didn't you do the workshop at Pace and you played Caroline?
Yes, I did. I was a fresh 17, 18 years old playing Caroline in Carolina Change at
That's
Pace.
What college is for.
It is. And that was honestly my first, that was like freshman years when I learned, like I went to performing arts high school and then came to New York for Pace University. And I feel like freshman year is when all of acting and everything kind of started making sense to me. Cause like I was thrown a lot in high school cause I went to a performing arts high school. So they like gave us all the tools, but like I was like 15, I didn't know what I was really doing. But my freshman year, like, everything kind of, like, melded in. And then my last semester, I got to, like, use all the tools I felt, like, finally settled in me in the workshop of Carolina Change. So that was, like, my first real, I like to call it my first real show, my first real, like experience with, like, true, like, theater and acting and stuff. So when I got to do it basically my senior year, it was, like, a crazy 360, or 180 or whatever, full circle, whatever full circle radius is.
That's math. That's I'm for dead. Other people to know.
That was, that you cut out. It was a full circle moment. That's what I
That's
meant.
Right. 360. Yeah.
360.
I love that you were that aware of that as a freshman, that you were like, I'm approaching this differently now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
Something makes sense. I see something different. Let's try it this way.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You kept following that. I think speaks volumes about your instinct and your gut.
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, it was really just so awesome. So, yeah.
And then hold on. You were also in Dear Evan Hansen.
I was.
And the tour, like, and you're in college. What?
Yeah.
How does that work? How does that work as someone who went to college in Wisconsin? And there's mm-hmm. no opportunity to do those things.
Of course. No, yeah. Definitely, like, wild. Like, I never in a million years thought that would even be a possibility. So when we did the Carolina Change workshop, my teacher invited a lot of, or our professors invited a lot of, like, their friends and, like, industry professionals because it's in New York. Mm. And so a lot of people saw me do that. And then from there, I started getting sent a few auditions to go on professionally. My first professional audition was the Once on This Island revival. Mm, it was the yes. worst audition of my life. It was so bad. But it's
first
just
pancake.
So,
yes,
first pancake.
And you're still in the business.
Yeah, it was so bad. I was so nervous, and I had, like, I was wearing, like, a crop top, and I had a belly button ring. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yes.
It was so odd. But we all have to, like, start somewhere. So that was my first thing. And then from there, they started calling me in for Dear Evan Hansen. And I went in for, like, I started going in for Dear Evan Hansen my second semester of my sophomore year. And I finally, like, got it my junior year, second or beginning of second semester of my junior year. So it was like a year-long audition process. I think I did like 10 auditions, mm. Which they do it like that in those shows. And then I was actually offered to be an understudy in their new Canadian production in Toronto. That's what, like, my original offer was. But I didn't want to, like, leave school to, like, go to Canada. Like, I just felt like I had more to learn, and, like, I didn't want to leave school. And
again, instinct and gut.
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Yes, period. And so
And
then,
geography.
And geography, yes. And then I, let's see. Yeah, okay, so that happened. And then I went home for spring break, or for winter break. And I was like, darn, like, I really, like, screwed up. Maybe I should have gone to Canada. What if I never get an opportunity like that again? Like, whatever. And then I got a call from the casting director, and he was like, did you turn it down because it was in Canada, or did you turn it down because you didn't want to be an understudy? And I said, honestly, I turned it down because it was in Canada. Like, I didn't think it was a good idea to leave school. And he was like, okay, cool, cool, cool. And then a week later, I got a phone call asking if I would be, like, a vacation understudy in Evan Hansen. And I was like, yeah, of course. Like, I don't know what that means, but absolutely. Mm-hmm. So I came back to school. I was a vacation understudy on Broadway for, like, 2 weeks. And I couldn't tell anyone, which really sucked. Like, I think now they changed it where, like, you can tell people if you're an understudy. Like, I don't know. It was weird. And then as soon as I left, as soon as I, like, finished my two-week stint there, they called me and they were like, we would like to offer you the actual role of Alana on Broadway, period. Mm. And I was like, yes, trusting your gut. And I'll never not trust my gut. Like, that is just, like, pure, like you just got to go for what you know you're worth and stick
well, you
to
can,
your...
You can smell when people want you.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was really hard, knowing that they wanted you mm-hmm. and having to say no. And, like, are people going to want me again? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Am I giving up my one opportunity?
Absolutely. It also showed me that, like, there is no rush. And, like, things, like, if you're meant to be on this path, things will come to you when they're meant to. And it's obviously easier said, you know, like that. Like, it can get pretty, like, daunting waiting around for, like, opportunities and stuff. But I feel like as long as you, like, keep working, like, stuff is going to come your way no matter what. So I did that, and then in my contract, it said that I was going to do Broadway for 6 months and then be on tour for 10 months. That was just the way the contract was written, and I didn't really want to leave New York because I was, like, it was my junior year. I was still doing, like, school and Broadway at the same time, and I was like, I don't really want to go my senior year. Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. So I went on tour for, like, 2 months. But right before I left, I auditioned for Carolina Change, and I booked Carolina Change, so I got to come back January of 2020, and then we started rehearsals, and then the pandemic hit. I went home. Then I went home, finished college online, came back, and then did Caroline. And that's kind of been my little journey thus far, so, yeah.
What a beautiful trail you've blazed.
That's exhausting.
Not a trail you blazed. I'm laughing. Very exhausting. A lot of ups and downs. Even, like, during the pandemic, I was, like, in Texas, like, do I even want to do theater? You know, I feel like we all had that moment.
Right. It all got very real that, like, we're all at risk of anything in this industry. It really is. It's a privilege. It's a privilege to work in entertainment.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, I have to say the going to school in Manhattan thing, or, like, adjacent to, you know, the tri-state area, that's a huge impetus as a performer who would also like to audition for Broadway. I mean, that's not normal.
No, absolutely.
So, I mean,
not.
That's a big reason why people go to Pace, a big reason why people go to, you know, fill in the blank, NYU.
Yeah.
And do they, I mean, obviously they're telling people to go audition. It's not a closed door policy,
it's not a
or
conservatory.
What?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like, I would say it's in the middle. Like, they didn't want us to, like, be going to, like, open calls and stuff like that, like, and missing class and, like, doing all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if an opportunity came our way and they felt like we were ready for it, they would send us in. Or, like, if they, like, got, like, because, like, also, like, the person who was ahead of our program at the time, like, would, like, look on, like, and, like, have, like, kind of like a list of, like, things that were going on, and, like, she would know, like, okay, I have a few kids that actually would be really good for this, and I feel like they're ready, and she would herself get us appointments and send us in. So, like, it just depended on the person and the circumstance, but, like, she didn't necessarily want us, like, it wasn't, like, encouraged to just, like, go and audition, because if
right,
we aren't
they're
ready,
still doing shows, too.
Exactly.
So
school,
like, they
definitely
need people
came
in the
first
program.
Yeah. Absolutely. Cool. School came first, but they did make it possible to do both at the same time.
They knew the difference between, like, holding you too close and a real opportunity that needed to be acknowledged.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, when I got Canada, they were like, I don't know if you should leave for that. And, like, at first I thought they were crazy, but, like, now that I'm older and out of it, like, yeah, no, I shouldn't have left school for that. I could have, but... Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like it was a good call on their end. So, yeah. Yeah.
Take me to Texas.
To Texas?
Right now. Oh. Right now. What part are you from?
I'm kind of from all over, but I was in high school. In high school, I was in Houston, Texas. So, like, in a city.
Mm-hmm. Well, we pronounce it Houston here, so.
Houston. Right. But my family is all from the Bronx, and I have a lot of family here, and I was born in New Jersey, but I moved to Texas when I was really young, so I'm a Texan, but not really. Kind of a mixture of both.
Yes,
Houston
Rockets. Texas.
Yeah. I'm actually going on Wednesday to surprise my mom, so that'll be fun, yeah.
Not if she listens to this podcast.
She won't. She has no concept of, like, social media, so. Hey, Mom. You'll
hey,
never
Mom.
Hear this.
Hey, happy birthday.
Surprise.
Grand Canyon University's RN to BSN online degree program makes earning your bachelor's in nursing possible. Balance online coursework with local in-person clinicals to position yourself for potential leadership opportunities in the time you have from wherever you are, leaving room for what matters. Achieve your goals with your personalized plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
This is just like a weird theater nerd question I sort of had. Again, very unique situation being in a show that was supposed to open before a pandemic and then a pandemic happened and then you picked it back up later. You were also one of, if not the first, cast recording to be recorded in the post-pandemic age. Oh. So I'm curious.
I didn't realize that.
I'm curious, like, if that process, I mean, obviously, you know, recording and singing was a big fear, and how, I don't know exactly what my question is. I guess, what was the process of the recording, and did it feel different than, say, other studio times, or did it feel like this was new to everybody as opposed to how they would normally do things?
You're a recording artist.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that makes total sense. That's an amazing question. I feel like, so it was my first ever cast album, and it's been my dream to.
Such an accomplishment. Such a milestone. So cool. Like, check mark bucket list.
It's crazy. And like, I'm a theater nerd, so I listen to cast albums all the time. So like, to be on one, I was like, what the heck is going on? It was really an amazing experience. I do understand what they mean when like people are like, yeah, like most cast albums, like what you're hearing is like really tired actors, because like it's always like recorded on a Monday. Mm-hmm. So that was really interesting, like having to pace ourselves during the week prior. But I just want to point out, so Sharon D. Clarke, who played Caroline, magnificent
queen.
Woman.
Amazing.
Queen.
Amazing.
My mother on and off the stage, like the best human in the entire planet. She is also a voiceover actress. And a lot of those actors were, like all those like seasoned actors, Casey, everyone. But Sharon, oh my gosh. The things she could conjure up with her voice and like, it was insane, and she definitely set the bar in the studio of where, and we all just met her there, but like, when she started, I was like, okay, so like, this is the energy that we're giving, and just like, the way she would like, use the mic and like, use her body to like, give exactly like, the same energy and action that was going on stage, just behind the mic, and like, still, it was crazy to watch. Like, I learned every day from her, obviously, because she's a genius, but like in that studio, like my mind was blown. Like, it was the most, and you can hear it on the recording, like she is there, like her voice and the quality and the tone of everything. Yeah. Oh my god, it was like, it was life-changing.
You're in love. Look at you. Oh, yeah, talk about her.
I'm obsessed with her. Like, oh my god, you have no idea. She's the best.
You're talking about that and how she set the bar. Did that give you a sense of freedom?
Yes. Yes.
Did that free you guys up to be like, oh, this is the room. This is the energy. This is how we're playing today.
Absolutely. It was like, all right, cool. Like, let's have fun. And like, obviously, you know, we would do things multiple times and just like, try things different ways, and Tony Kushner was there too, making sure we were word perfect, because like, you know, like we'd be making up stuff all the time, so as long as it rhymes,
sure.
Don't tell me I said that though. And Janine was there, and just like the orchestra, and like, oh my god, the energy was wild.
Even the orchestra is beautiful.
Yes, exactly. And it was just like such a communal, like, brilliant time. And honestly, like, the feeling of that cast is such like like, we are just, like, one big family. Like, that is really the energy. And, like, I know a lot of people say, like, that's how their casts are. But, like, that really was, like, because, you know, we went through the whole pandemic together. Well, they're full together.
Of shit. Yeah.
Yeah, they're, yeah, exactly.
They're full of shit. And you guys had, like, washing machines.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like.
Kevin McAllister.
Legend.
Legend. I worked with him at Come From Away, and I got to watch all of his standby rehearsals, so I got to see him do each part in the play.
Literally thought you were talking about Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone.
Oh, yeah. We always make a... I'm like, now, whose name is Kevin McAllister? I'm never, like...
Right.
But, yeah, I hope he gets a Tony for what he did. I don't know, like, how that goes, but, like, he deserves every award and accolade because he's insane. That voice is crazy.
Transformative.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. So, yeah, it was a really awesome experience.
It was a beautiful production. I really loved
you.
It.
It was so cool.
Thank you.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah. No. Yeah.
It's such a special piece that was so ahead of its time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Tony Kushner, though. Like, you worked with Tony Kushner.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of blows my mind.
Yeah.
It blows it wide open, you know.
Things that come out of his brain.
Yeah, that's insane.
It is wild. And it also is wild because, like, he's so, like, nice and, like, he's like a big teddy bear. Like, he's so chill and, like, awesome that, like, I'd be forgetting he's Tony Kushner. Like, I can't lie to you guys. We would just be, like, hanging out and, like, he's, like, delivering, like, he's just so kind and, like, giving us notes and, like, I don't know, like, everyone was so process-based and you could tell, so there were no, like, crazy egos or anything like that. Like, everyone was just, like, really, like, there to, like, tell such a good story. That's why I think it was cast so perfectly. Like, there was no one in, like, there's not even, not a rotten egg at all.
You could
everyone
tell it was
the best.
Good group up there.
Well, and so thankful that it came back. Like, now we can get along with it, and there's, like, a preciousness to...
Yes, absolutely.
...being together and telling the story.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, to be among the first shows to come back, because you were ready to go.
Yeah,
you know, you rehearsed, you were ready, you jumped right back into the saddle and to lead all the other shows that opened after. You guys were such a good leader. Such a good example of, you know, again, like, setting the bar and having to meet you there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was awesome.
Steven, isn't Caroline or Change one of your top shows of all time?
I really think so. I think, like, in any top 10 list I've ever made, Caroline is on there.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool. I think the material is great, but more importantly, how the material is told is great.
I would love for it to be a movie musical.
I do, too. I think it would make a beautiful film.
I think so, too. I think I mean, over the pandemic, obviously, it crossed my mind multiple times. I was like, wait, like, what if we make this a movie musical and reach, like, more people and, like, you know, then bring it to Broadway, whatever. But who's to say? That would be really dope, though. I'm putting it into the universe now.
If you had to, like, celebrity cast a Caroline.
Sharon D. Clarke.
There we go.
She's a celebrity, right? Yeah. I couldn't see anyone else doing it. No offense.
I've always said that I'd love to see Wanda Sykes do it. And I know that she's a comedian, but I think she could really surprise a lot of people.
I could see
with a fierce Caroline.
Yeah, I could totally see that. I could totally see that.
Don't know why, but I stand by it.
I stand by it.
There's something there.
I love the restrictions of theater. Like, you need to do it in this box. And there are things that you can, like, play with. However, Caroline or Change in a movie way, like, that creativity just explodes.
Yeah.
Unlimited, yeah.
You could do so much. You could go so many different ways. And, like, they got to do that.
Oof.
Can you imagine? I have the chills.
I hope so. Why not? Tony Kushner's on a freaking roll right now.
I know.
Anyone would be stupid not to be like, what's the next Tony Kushner thing we can make?
No, literally. That'd be awesome.
I want him to write a sitcom. Ooh, you know, like, yeah. Something he's never done, but, like, make it good.
Yeah. He can do it. Yeah, absolutely. He's capable of everything.
He's so capable. He's stupidly capable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What, every actor hates this question, but I'm still going to ask it. What's happening next? Like, we've talked about how your brilliance recently. Mm-hmm. What do you want to do next?
That is a good question. I'm doing an out-of-town first show this summer in Chicago at the Goodman Theater.
Nice.
Yes. Love Chicago.
Yeah, I'm really excited to experience it.
So can that's you what's say what next. It is?
I don't know. But I'll tell you guys. It's called Life After. I don't know. I already signed the contract, so it doesn't matter.
Sweet.
It's called Life After, and it's about this girl who loses her dad in a car accident, and kind of like, it's beautiful music. Oh my gosh. It's like very fun home-like, very folky, like Dogfight-ish like. And it follows her through sort of like the stages of grief, and like she goes back and forth in time trying to like figure out like if it was her fault that he died or like, you know, like what happened. And at the end she just kind of like wraps the whole like play together by deciding that some things like don't have answers, but that's okay, and like life goes on, and like you can still be so full of love for someone even if they're not here, and even if a lot of things were left unsaid. And so, yeah, it's a really beautiful story. So that's what I have coming up next. But I don't really know, like, what the future will be for that. But I'm excited.
Cool. Have you spent any time in Chicago? Did you tour?
No, I didn't ever reach Chicago. But I had a really good friend from a musical theater camp that I met when I was 13. And her family is from there. So I spent a summer there visiting them when I was, like, 15 or so. So I've spent a summer there. And I also went to Unifieds there for college auditions. But that was during the winter. So that was, like, horrendous.
Terrible.
Sure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Terrible news.
Yeah.
Well, go see the Sunday in the Park exhibit.
Oh, I will.
The painting.
You gotta go look at that painting.
If you haven't.
Just put it in your ears.
And I will.
Take a moment and watch that thing come to life.
I will. Oh, my God. I played Dot, actually. That was, like, my most recent college role, my junior year. Yeah. It's great. Great
It's
show.
Thrilling. I made Dana do it.
I'm so excited.
But I don't think she regrets it.
I don't.
Magic.
I'm excited.
So Dana asked the what's next, and I'm going to ask the other question actors either love or hate, which is what are the dream roles?
Yeah.
What are the roles that you would love to
What's your dream
conquer?
Role, girl?
I would say right now, like roles that are out right now, like on Broadway.
Up to you. That,
no
I,
restrictions.
I was thinking broader, but if you would like, if you need to limit yourself, like on a menu, if it's too many things, you just need to pick something.
No. I mean, my dream role was Emmy, so I got to play that.
Oh,
I also...
Incredible. I love
Everything's downhill from here. I mean...
I know, that's what I always joke around and say that too. I would love to play Eurydice in Hadestown. Like, that musical is like... That's really my alley, so that would be really cool. I really love this next role that I'm about to be doing, so, like, that is also a dream role, and I'm excited to start with that.
Are you originating that role?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How cool to build from the ground up and play and
I'm
tweak
excited.
And learn. You know, like you said, this is a dream role, but it wasn't a role you knew to dream about because no one else had done it for you first.
Yeah,
so that's
exactly.
A beautiful perspective to me.
Mm-hmm. You're going to create someone's dream role.
Yes. Next time. Hopefully. And then I really want to do a revival of The Wiz. So I would love to be Dorothy in that, which I did in high school, but like I would love to do it like on Broadway or somewhere cool.
Look at you. How many times tonight have you said, like, oh, I always wanted to do this. Oh, I did it.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, yeah, I did it.
I know. Like, that's crazy.
You just check in the list off.
Stop. Listen. Also,
keep going. Don't you stop.
Mm-mm. I'm obsessed with Rent. And I saw that it's coming to Paper Mill, and I really want to... I love, like, the role of Mimi. Like, I would love to play that. I played Maureen when I was in high school, and it was, like, the most, like, invigorating, like, opening experience for me, and it was so cool, so I would love to do that again, and I think Paper Mill is so cool. It would be a great place to, like, try out a new show. Yeah, that's all I can think of right now, but I'm sure. Oh, I'm obsessed with Dogfight, too. That's my favorite musical. Even though I've never seen it, or I've never read the script or anything. I just love the music, so.
That's a Broadway blind spot for me.
You saw it?
I saw it at Second Stage.
Oh, shit.
I loved it. I went to see Annalie in it. I loved it.
Oh, my God.
I loved it. I thought it was really cool.
Yeah,
I just thought it was really cool.
Lindsay Mendez, I'm obsessed with her, and
I don't know the source material at all, so that's like a missing piece for me. But I had never seen anything like it, and I was like, "Oh, this is a story that hasn't been told."
Told, yeah, and I just think Pasek and Paul, like, I think it's their best work, in my opinion.
So
hopefully, it comes back or it comes to Broadway because it never made it, right?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't. On Broadway, but it was certainly at Second Stage and did really well there.
Yeah.
If memory serves.
Yeah.
I certainly loved it there.
That's amazing.
Hi-ho! 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 Hi-ho!
We have one more question for you that all actors hate. There are seven well-known dwarves in history. If you were the eighth dwarf, what would your name be?
Oh, that's a good question. God, that's a hard question.
We ask all of our guests, and they all hate it. You're welcome. Ugh,
you're the 95th person to answer it.
Oh my gosh, amazing. I would say... I don't even know how to answer that correctly. Wait, okay.
I'm going to give you, what's your essence? Like, what's the center of your baseball? What's that word?
Are you bestowing a dwarf name?
I think I would call myself crazy.
Crazy dwarf.
Well, then so will we.
And it ends in a Y.
And it ends in a crazy. Just got me crazy. I don't fucking know.
Works for me. I like that answer. Crazy
I do want to see an Excel spreadsheet of everyone's answer.
Yeah.
Yeah. What was like the best answer you guys have gotten?
Meredith, or no?
Margaret.
Margaret Dwarf. The last one was Groovy Dwarf. Oh. Okay. We have a lot of slutty dwarves. We have
a couple of sparkly dwarves.
Sparkly.
I'm Nishy Dwarf.
Niche.
Nishy Dwarf. Yeah.
Oh, because you're very niche. Okay, I love that.
Adelie and I were both gassy.
Gassy, that's funny.
We have our own cabin.
That's funny, your own cabin. I would say, okay, I'm going to change mine. It's not crazy.
No.
I would say mine is Sunny. Because I love a good, I feel like I'm, I like
there
to bring
we go.
The sunshine, baby.
Yeah. There we go.
Oh, then your season's coming up.
Honey, it is. And I cannot wait to thrive. Hot girl summer all the way. Yes.
What do you do in the summer? What's your... Well, you'll be working.
Yeah, I'll be working.
But are you like a beach queen? Are you hiking queen? Are you...
Because there are beaches in Chicago.
I know. I'm so excited. I don't know if you got... I like to travel, so like I'm a beach girl. Like, I will find my way to an island. Like, I was just in St. Croix. I went from, like, Puerto Rico to St. Croix in the span of, like, 3 weeks just because. I will find... I find a cheap ticket, and I just go. My friends think I'm crazy, but, like, I never get to travel because of the nature of our jobs. We have to, like, be here. So, as soon as Caroline ended, I was like, this is my moment to go out.
Have you ever traveled by yourself?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I've traveled by myself. Yeah, I went to Europe my junior year, and I just, like, kind of, like, went around for a bit during spring break, and that was fun. But I definitely want to, like, do more of that. Although I feel like it can get kind of boring. Just depends on, like, if you're good at, like, talking to other people. Sometimes I can be bad at that, to be honest.
I have a lot of trips in my head, but they're with different people.
Yeah.
Like, I can obviously travel with my partner anywhere. We travel very well together.
Yeah,
but there are also trips where I'm like, not that I don't want you there, I just definitely want this person there.
Oh, yeah. I've learned that the hard way. Absolutely. I feel like that's just part of growing up. I've learned there are certain people, like, you can't really
travel. I think that's just part of the fun part, too, is, like, different trips and different people. And mix it up in the barrel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh, and everyone froze. Oh, there they go. Okay.
Oh.
We back. It's my shitty internet, apparently. On that note,
Steven, oh my gosh, thank you so much for joining us. We've wanted you for a very long time.
And yeah, it's a treat to finally meet you. We're so glad.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What a treat.
And you guys know Larry Ray, or one of you does, right?
Obviously.
Okay, period. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
Larry Ray and I just had a date. We went to For Colored Girls on Broadway.
Oh my god, it's open already.
Wardrobe supervisor Linda Lee.
Oh my gosh, how was it? I want to see
it. It was fantastic. I mean, it's like, if you know it.
Yeah.
I did not know it, but you know, it's like monologues and storytelling and everyone has like a different color ensemble and it's bare feet, stark stage.
That's my dream show, to be in something like that.
Yeah, they are fantastic. It's powerful, it's funny.
Yeah, I'm hearing great word of mouth. I'm really excited to get there.
Yes, absolutely. And are you and Tina, I'm guessing?
I don't know about the hat. I dress at Tina.
Okay, amazing, amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
I didn't do my hair for you today.
Oh, no. Oh, my gosh, I love it.
Terrible.
No. That's awesome. Cool.
Yeah, we're having fun over there.
I'm sure. Oh, my gosh. I love, like, hearing about all, like, all the women who get to, like, go on as Tina. Like, I love seeing it on Instagram. And
that's what keeps it fun for us, too. Let me tell you, like, we have four women who play it very differently. And it is really a treat to, again, shake up the barrel and give the audience something different each night.
Yeah.
And hear how they react to these different Tinas. And each woman has their own... Yeah. Moment where they just have them in the palm of their hand and it's different for each, and that's so cool to me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I was having dinner with Larry, and this is Larry Ray, not the one who's been making news because he was like some kind of sex cult leader at Sarah Lawrence. Okay.
Oh, so I didn't even hear about
that. Larry Ray, our friend, was like, Dana, I can't stop seeing Tina. He's been there like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
He's like obsessed with it in a way that, like, I understand. I've seen it. I love it. I love Tina Turner music, but he has a problem. He has a problem.
He loves the Tina.
Yeah. He's like, Dan, I cannot stop.
I'm glad I know that now, because now I can just send you things to pass on.
Oh, yeah. Look for him. Like, he's there tidbits. Most nights
of the
week.
He's there once a week.
That's amazing. We had someone who would come to Caroline, like, she came almost every day. Like, 2 show days, she was there, front row. It's really interesting.
God bless. God bless. I want her job. Shit, she's making money.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, damn. Those tickets are expensive.
But
and thank you for your support.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
And thank you for being here, Sammy.
Thank you for hustling
on those trains and joining us in our Zoom.
Are you kidding me? Thank you for having me. This was so fun, and y'all are amazing.
You're welcome back anytime.
You are going to EGOT, absolutely, for sure. So we're glad that we got you, you know, in your young stage of your life.
We're glad that we EGOT you. Get it? Because we're on the... electronic.
Y'all are silly.
So stupid.
He got you. He got you.
Oh my gosh. And Steven, I hope, like, we get to work together. Like,
oh my god, please make that happen. Listen,
moment. Yeah,
you let me know when you're working and I'll get my ass on.
Okay,
I will. Oh, so fun. We'd have a ball.
Yes, we would. I know that that dresser actor relationship is so like important and tight knit. So like I love dressers. So yeah, it's cool that you're doing it.
What a queen. Thank you. Queen.
We appreciate
thank you, for
you
taking
guys.
Care of your clothes.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that.
Go have a fabulous rest of your night.
Thank you.
On that note. Bye.
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 In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazee
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, W-I-E-N-E-R, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out. And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.